I was, you know, there's been different times as you, you know, just, you know, just being human, as you go through any given or any particular day, you can have good days or bad days, you know, but sometimes you have to talk yourself into the good, right?
Yeah.
You know, I've learned that in life, and then, and you know, there's been times where it's like, you know, things feel off, or things, maybe you're having a bad day or whatever, and you think, if you really get to thinking about it, sometimes you get there and think, why am I even in a bad mood? Why am I having a bad day? Yeah. There's no natural reason to. I mean, life is good, and yeah, everything is perfectly fine, praise the Lord. But I just, for whatever reason, I'm not happy. Maybe I'm not happy with where I'm at or my situation. And then I got to thinking about it, and I thought about how ridiculous that is. Because if we're following the Lord, glory to God, He's going to always lead us to a place closer to Him. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
Amen. You know, people can argue about what God has for them, but I don't think any Christian can argue that God wants to lead them closer to Him. That's
right.
His goal, His desire.
Yeah.
And so if God wants to lead you closer to Him, and He is the embodiment of good, He is the embodiment of blessing, He is the embodiment of love, that can't be a bad place to go to.
Right.
Praise the Lord. That doesn't mean there won't be opposition to getting there. Of course, we'll have days and things that come up that will try to pull us away from the blessing of the Lord. But we know, as long as we stay on this course, amen, that we'll be blessed.
That's right.
Glory,
yeah,
to God. That eventually we'll hit the mark. If nothing else, at the very end, when we get to heaven, that will be that's the highest and the best.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that as we, you know, the thing about going higher, okay, well, let's talk about this for a minute, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
If you're going to go higher, most of us would think of heaven is the highest level, amen? When if you graduate and go to heaven, you can't get any better than that. I don't think that there's different stages in heaven. You know, once you're in heaven, your presence of God, it just can't get any better than that, right? But if you think about, if you're in a hot air balloon and you're going up into the air, you don't go higher without going higher.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so every step of going higher is still a little bit higher than where you were. And so if you're after God, if you're following God, then every step we take in that direction is a little bit higher, a little bit better than where we were. Amen.
Right.
And I've found that as I've followed the Lord, as I've been in this for many years now, you know, it doesn't mean that every day looks hunky-dory, every day goes without issue. But the thing is I always have that hope and that expectation, yep, of going higher. And so, you know, here's the thing. You can talk yourself into a bad day,
yeah,
or you can talk yourself into a good day.
Yeah, right.
And we might as well just talk ourselves, yep, into good days, amen? We might as well just talk ourselves into being happy and blessed where we're at.
Yeah.
And I think that if we do so, we'll start finding the blessing more, amen?
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that the Lord was dealing with me this week on is He was dealing with me on, on having a testimony. And whether or not, you know, if people really truly believe that they have a testimony.
Right.
All of us, if we're Christian, should have a testimony.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen? And that testimony shouldn't just be one testimony. I got saved this one time and, you know, I started serving the Lord and praise God for it. But that shouldn't be our only testimony.
Right.
There should be other testimonies.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
I mean, you can tell the same story over and over again, but it gets boring.
Right.
So you might as well add,
yeah,
more to the story.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Well, tonight's message is called Living in God's Reality.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And guess what we're going to be talking about tonight? Living in God's reality, amen? Or reality of God, we're going to be talking about what the reality that God has set aside for us, what He intended for His children. You know, a lot of Christianity focuses on, you know, suffering, the suffering of God's people. And there is a level of suffering that we are going to experience on earth. There is no doubt about that. But we have to understand what the suffering is. Now, I'm not preaching about the suffering tonight, so you can be happy about that. But I just thought it would be good to talk about it for a minute.
Yeah.
You know, the suffering that God talks about in the Bible is very specific. Did you know that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Amen. And there's a lot of things in the Bible that lead us to more understanding of the Lord. In fact, all the understanding we're going to get here, or a majority of the understanding, will be based in the Word. Amen. And so as we get better understanding of the Word, we have a better understanding of God. But
yes,
when we get an understanding of the Word, you start to see how God works. You start to be able to define terms.
Yeah.
You know, one of the problems in Christianity sometimes is when people decide to define terms based on how they understand that or what they know. But you can't do that. If I write a paper based on my life that's explaining, you know, different nuances and different aspects of my life, if you don't know me, it would be hard to understand that if you try to understand it through your own perception, because you haven't lived my life, and so you wouldn't understand all those things. You know, and as people, I think that's something that we need to get better at, especially Christians, need to be better at trying to see the other side.
Yeah.
Not necessarily agreeing with the other side.
Right.
I mean, the things that, you know, other people think, non-believers.
Right.
But we need to get to an understanding of why they think the way they do.
Right.
You know, why they go after the things they go after. I didn't say, again, I'm not saying agree with it. I'm saying we need to understand it.
Right.
And to understand it, you can't be understanding if you're just going to knock someone down or tear them apart or all these things. And so, you know, even like there was, as I was praying there, there was a congresswoman that came before me in my heart. And I'm not going to share her name, but it's somebody that I very much don't agree with politically. In fact, she's very, very opposite the things that I, vehemently against the things that I believe. And so it's not, you know, so there's a lot of cause for tension in that and a lot of cause for me to want to say bad things as most people would, you know, or say things against. But the Lord was showing me there that, you know, my job is to pray. My job isn't to take away. And so, you know, I need to pray and uphold those people. And so do you. Amen?
Yes. Thank you.
And praise the Lord. So we're going to be talking about God's reality tonight, living in God's reality, the reality that he has for us. Amen? Now, I want to share a few things before we get into the scripture. We've got a bunch of scripture. We'll get there. But there's a few things that the Lord specifically put on my heart to say. And this is kind of, this first thing is kind of where the sermon was born out of, amen? And that's that people say often, and I've heard a lot of Christians say this, you know, somebody has something bad go on in their life, and, you know, Christians will often say, and I've been guilty of saying it too, but will often say to those people, you just got to have faith, right? People say, have faith, have faith. But see, the problem is not everybody understands what faith is.
Right.
You know, you can even say, well, hey, you got to have faith in God. But to a lot of people, they don't even know what that means.
Right.
They don't know what it means to have faith in God.
Right.
And the fact that they don't know what it means to have faith in God tells you that they can't have faith in God because they don't understand God. You know, I've seen this in different levels of different areas in Christianity where believers, they just believe, maybe they know enough to believe, but they don't know anything else about the attributes of God or what God wants from them or what God expects from them or any of these things. And so to them, it's all up in the air. You know, it's just like I said, we have to have an understanding of the Father if we're going to understand what he wants or what
right.
he wants us to do.
Right. Good.
So it is not just a matter of having faith, but what do you have faith in?
Right.
You know, I didn't even realize it, but there's certain groups of Christians, certain denominations that believe in things that are wholly unscriptural, that believe in things that aren't truth of God at all, but they still believe in them. One of them that I didn't realize was really something, I don't think it's specifically taught in churches, but it seems like certain groups of people will grab onto it, is that they believe that, you know, when a loved one dies, that they become something else.
Right.
Yeah.
Like something totally different.
Yeah.
For example, if a loved one dies, they might be, I think one of the popular things is a cardinal, that they would become a cardinal. Or another popular thing, and I didn't realize that was popular, but it actually is. Another popular thing that people believe that a loved one will become when they die is an angel or something like that. But we know according to Scripture that that is not what happens.
Right.
That when we die, we transition into a more glorified body, as the Bible calls it. But it's not an angel. An angel is a completely separate entity, and so is a cardinal.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm glad that I'm not going to be coming back as a cardinal.
Amen.
But people believe these things, and they believe them so strongly that they really embrace them.
Yeah.
And these are falsities. But if they embrace something like that, then how are they going to ever embrace God? How are they going to have faith in God? So when we say, we have to be careful about just saying, have faith in God, but we need to be ready to present a case as to why you need to have faith in God. What it means to have faith in God. Having faith in God doesn't mean that life is going to go without an issue. But what it does mean is that you'll always have victory. It means that you'll always have an answer at some point. Amen? If I believe that God is for me and working in me, then I believe that the work that he is doing will be exceedingly great. Why? Because the Bible tells us this, right? And so we're going to turn to our first scripture. Let's turn to Philippians 2:12. Glory to God. Philippians 2:12. Flip over to Philippians. That's my little joke. It wasn't my Bible. Going to wrong. There we go. Hallelujah. Philippians 2:12 says here, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Work out your own salvation. So we see right off the top here, one of the number one things that God is leading us to is to work out, or Paul was telling the Philippians, is to work out your own salvation. In other words, to figure it out. Figure out what God wants you to do. To work, the salvation is a work. A lot of Christians, you know, think that once you get saved, that's it. You know, they say, well, we've been saved by grace. Yes, we've been saved by grace, but we've been saved by grace for works. Yeah. We've been saved for a purpose. We haven't just been saved so we can sit around and say, I got out of it. Phew, I made it. You know, we can get there. You know, finally, I can be sure that I'm going to heaven. There's nothing else for me to do. I can just kick back and relax. Amen? Yeah. That is not what God has saved us for. He saved us for something. Amen? And verse 13 declares it. It says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure.
Yes.
Notice it says to will and to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just not a matter of doing, but you also have to will. Yeah. Have you ever known you had to do something, but you just don't will to?
Yeah.
I mean, don't we go through that? And that's part of what talking ourselves into things sometimes is when you know to do right, you have to do it. You have to choose to do right. You have to choose. You have to overcome your will with your will. You have to use your will to overcome your will in order to do good. If you want to do if you want to be pleasing to God, then you have to will and then you have to do. This is lost in so many people. They don't realize that there's a part that they actually play, that there's a part to walk out. And so what they're missing in this, or what many people will miss in this, is they will miss the reality that God has for them, the life that God has for them, because they're not willing to do what he wants them to do.
Right.
He's willing that he desires that you would do his good pleasure. He wants us to lay down our good pleasure, the things that we deem necessary, the great things that we wanted to do, and he wants us to do the things that he wants us to do. And sometimes this is a process. In humans, I can tell you with me, there's been a process, and there still is a process. Sometimes I know that I need to go in a certain direction, or I need to do something, and nothing in my flesh wants to do that. So what do? I contend against the flesh. I'm like, was it Jacob wrestling against the angel? But I'm wrestling against myself. I'm trying to get myself into the will of God, into the plan, keep myself in the plan of God. I have to determine that I'm going to do it. As a Christian, there is no excuse to not do it, to not get into it. Now, there's lots of opportunity, opposition to keep us from doing it, but we have to fight through it.
Right.
We have to be right.
Yeah, that's right.
We have to determine in ourselves that we're going to be right.
Yeah.
Listen to what I'm saying.
That's so good.
We have to determine. It has to be something. Listen, I'm going to do it. Just that's all there is. I don't even know how I'm going to do it.
Right.
See, this is where faith is born. Faith is born in that idea that you know that there's something greater, that there's something more, and so you're going to get into that even though you don't know how you're going to get into it. Most times I have no idea how I'm going to preach any message. I don't know how I'm going to pastor a church. I don't know how I'm going to help people. I don't know what I'm going to do. Actually, there's some things on my heart that are very vague. And what I mean by vague is I know kind of the idea of what needs to be done, but I don't know how to implement it. I don't know how to get there. I don't know any of the details about it.
Yeah.
So what do? I press on in faith. I don't give up on it and say, well, it's just impossible. No, I press on in faith. I say, this is where I'm going to get. You know, as a church, we're going to be led into things. We're going to be doing different things. Sometimes we're not going to know how to do them. But we need to press on in faith. We hold to the word, press on in faith. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Psalm 37:3 is one of my, it's in the top, probably the top of my favorite scriptures. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
really, what the scripture is saying is to dwell in trust.
Yeah.
You have to dwell in trust. You have to live in trust. We have to have faith in God that God will, that if God has called us to him, that he will not just call us to him, but he will work out, he will help us work out the salvation that he's so graciously given us. He's going to walk us through it. He's going to help lead us into it. He's going to ensure that we have the supply, the ability to get to where we need to go.
Yes.
One of the things I've learned about living a life of faith is most of the time you're not going to have the supply ahead of time. You're not going to know how you're going to get there. You're not going to know how it's going to get done. But that doesn't matter. Because you don't need to know. God didn't say, go figure it out. See, this is what I love about the Lord, and this is what where Christians get hung up, is God never led us to go figure out how to get his work done. He said, just do it. He said, will to do it, and then do it. Praise the Lord. He said, you have to have a desire in you to do it, and then he'll walk it out. And if you continue reading in Psalm 37, he talks about giving us the desires of our heart.
Yeah.
What is that talking about? Does that mean that I could just, you know, I wanted really a pair of expensive shoes and that was a desire of my heart? That's not what God is talking about there.
Right.
He says here in Psalm 37:3, he says, trust in the Lord and do good.
Right.
It doesn't mean that stuff, see, all that peripheral stuff, that stuff that people focus on, is the problem.
Yeah.
They're focused on all the things that they're focused, you know, even when somebody comes in with trouble. People come into the church with trouble a lot of times, and they just need an answer to their problem.
Right.
What are they doing? They're focused on the peripheral things.
Yeah.
They're focused on things Jesus said, I'll take care of if you trust me. They don't know it yet.
Right.
So they come into the church, and we teach them the truth. We teach them that Jesus wants to take care of you. He wants to protect you. He wants to help you. He wants you to live in peace. He wants you to have joy. We teach them these things. Why do we teach them these things? So they stop worrying about it.
Right.
But what I have noticed that in the church, people never stop worrying.
Right.
They never stop worrying about it. You need to keep coming back to them and telling them again and again and God, again that God said, just lay it down. I will take care of these things.
Right.
I will take care of you.
Yeah.
You do what I tell you to do.
Yeah.
That's exactly what God just told us to do.
Exactly.
You look at the life of Jesus. What did Jesus do? He worried about nothing. He just went and did good. He went and did what was good, and God took care of him. And Jesus showed his disciples as they went that no matter what they were going to do, God was going to take care of them. He said, "Don't your reality cannot be on these things."
Right.
Mark 6 or Matthew 6 tells us all about that. Jesus says, "Don't worry about your life, what you're going to do, what you're going to put on, what you're going to wear. Don't worry about all that stuff." Well, Jesus said, "Don't worry about it." I guess we don't have right to worry about it.
Right.
Yeah. Why is everybody so worried all the time?
Because
they don't listen to the word.
Right.
They haven't gotten grounded in God's reality yet.
Right.
God's reality is if you do what he says to do, he'll take care of you. You ain't got to worry about the rest of the stuff. Now, that does not mean that you can't ever desire anything or you can't ever ask God for anything. Of course you can. And God wants you to. Why? Because God desires a relationship with each one of us. Praise the Lord. When I have a relationship with my kids, it's when there's a back and forth, or we have conversation, we talk about things. They come to me when they need something, or at least they should, praise the Lord. Just like we should go to God when we need something.
Yeah.
You see, God does not want us to just be these independent robot or these independent people that have everything, that, you know what I mean? He wants us to be dependent on others and on him. This is God's design. So when we fight this, what we're doing is fighting God's design. Well, I want it my way or the highway. You're a fool. Foolishness says my way or the highway. Foolishness says I can't take help. Foolishness says I can't rely on other things. Amen? Or other people. Well, praise God. Not getting far fast. Praise the Lord, but we're getting there. Amen? So we must dwell in trust. And this is exactly what he's talking about. Dwell in the land and feed on what? His faithfulness. You're not feeding on your ability. You're not feeding on the income that your job supplies. My mom cooks great food. Sometimes I feed on it. But that is not my lifestyle of feeding. I don't. I'm not always looking to her for it. God supplies. Amen. Yeah. And so we see this that you know, feeding on God's faithfulness is literally, that's the epitome of trust. That is what trust is. It's when you live to at a place where you're like, no matter what, it doesn't matter because I'm focused on God.
Amen.
This is what it means to be focused on God. See, what happens is the devil will throw things at us.
Yeah.
You'll bring opportunities or you'll bring distractions into your life so that you stop looking at heaven and you start looking at them.
Right, right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Let me ask you, in general, how many of us on a daily basis think about their tires on the car?
No.
Most of the time you don't think about it, right? Most of the time you're not thinking about a lot of things in your car. In fact, that's why we have little lights that come on and little dings that happen, because sometimes you need that to remind you, because you're not thinking about that
stuff,
right?
Yeah.
That's how God wants us to live. But see, what the devil likes to do is he likes to get a nail out there in the road.
Yeah.
You get a nail in your tire, and what happens? Tire pressure starts going down, and then sensors start going off, and then you're focused on that, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever been distracted while driving? You've been driving and you've been maybe trying to find a street, and you're paying attention to every, you know, you're looking at the street signs real intently, and you're not paying attention to, and maybe you miss a light. And have you ever driven through a red light or something like that? I know most of you haven't, but I have. And so I understand these things. You get distracted and you can do dangerous things.
Yeah.
Why do you suppose the devil is always trying to distract Christians? He's distracting them with this, distracting them with that. So we're off living a life. You know, the Lord was dealing with me about dreams, about, you know, I have a creative mind, and I can come up with ideas and places, and I see things and I want to go, and I have an explorative mind. I want to go places and stuff like that. And so sometimes the devil will use those things to distract me. I say the devil because he'll stir those things up, you know.
Yeah.
Not that he makes me think about them, but he'll maybe put something in my path or something like that. And, you know, the Lord started dealing with me on these things, and he was not just for me, but he was dealing with me for people. And he was showing me how that sometimes people will live so much in their dreams that they lose their place of reality, and they spend their entire life living in their dreams. That they're outside of their actual circumstance where they are, because their mind is always somewhere else.
Wow.
This is how all bad things happen. Affairs happen this way.
Wow.
Affairs in marriage, they happen this way.
Sure.
You know, people who steal, stuff like that, a lot of times it's based in those areas.
Right.
You know, we just saw a whole bunch of people looting and stuff like that. Well, listen, you didn't need to go looting Louis Vuitton.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? To pay your, because you wanted, because you needed some shoes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people were looting and they were after because they were distracted by the glitz and the glam and all these things. And our society has made them the same thing. But in reality, if you use leather on one or leather on the other, what's the difference?
Right.
I mean, in reality, there's no difference. Now, I'm not saying that it's not nice to have nice things. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying the focus shouldn't be on those things, because there is no difference.
Right.
I love the example of how God uses gold for pavement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I love that example because it shows us, it's just, to him, it's nothing.
Yeah.
It, you know what I mean? It's nothing. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
There's no value.
Yeah.
What reality do you prefer? The one you have been in or the one that he has set aside for you? This is what we should ask ourselves as Christians.
Yep.
What reality do we prefer? Because once we get the answer to that question, then it's not hard to realize what direction we need to go.
Right.
See, people get hung up because they're hung up on their own desires, their own wants, their own direction, and they don't seem to ever be getting anywhere.
Yep.
But that's because that's the direction they were always on.
Right.
See, we talk about pandemics out there, coronavirus and stuff like that, but there's a worse pandemic, I think, in the church.
Yeah.
And that's a pandemic of self-will.
Yes.
Yeah.
That people don't will lay down their self-will for his will.
Yeah.
They keep self-will, and they keep, I mean, we see this in church after church after church after church. And what it really is, it's just a human condition.
Mm-hmm.
But the church was meant to change the human condition or to help the human condition. But instead, what has been happening in a lot of places is the human condition has seeped into the church. It's seeped into the traditions and the mindsets and the directions of why we do what we do.
Yes.
And when they do that, what happens is it overtakes and people start going outside of the will of God. They start going in their own directions. So what do you prefer? Do you want the one the reality that you've set aside or the one that he has? Turn with me to Ephesians 3. Glory to God. God intends that we get there. He intends that we get to where he wants us to go.
That's right.
God did not make us fruitless people.
Right.
We see that in Genesis. And furthermore, Jesus talked even more about fruit after when he came and was leaving. Fruit is a concept through the entire Bible.
Right.
What is fruit? Fruit is something that is valuable on the other side of the labor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Yes.
It is not just a stab in the dark. How many Christians, I knew this growing up, I knew so many, you know, growing up in a church, and they weren't necessarily taught about faith, they weren't taught really, taught really strongly in the Word. They were taught, and they were good people. I'm not saying they weren't good people.
Right.
They were very good people, some of the most precious people in my life, you know, that helped me to get to where I was going, but they weren't taught about these things so much.
Right.
And so they didn't understand. They just thought that everything was a stab in the dark.
Right.
You know, if something happens to you, well, it just must have been God's will then. And that's why it happened, and so now you're off, you know, dealing with this situation. They didn't realize that they have say in aspects of their life by what they choose.
Right.
See, we need to really look at this and get this understanding. By the very nature of free will, God gave us free will.
Right.
There is no Christian, I don't think, unless there's some obscure sect of Christianity, but there is no Christian that will deny that God has given us free will.
Right.
That should tell us something. Very important. What that should tell us is that if God gave us free will, we have a choice in good things and in bad things. Doesn't mean we have a choice in all things. In other words, you can't stop all bad things from happening to you. But he has given us choice in how to deal with the bad things that happen to us. This is a very important thing that so many people have missed, that God has given us, you know, I've said this, I don't know how many times I've been counseling somebody or whatever, and I brought this up. I said, it's not what happens to you that matters as much as to how you respond to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What happens to you is irrelevant.
Yeah.
You say, oh, I had these bad things happen. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Why? Because millions of people have had bad things happen to them.
Right. Yeah.
Your bad things are no worse than other people's bad things. Some people have had really bad things happen to them, and they still turn out okay.
Right.
So the bad things, they don't define anything in your life.
No.
How you react to those things does define
you.
You know, why do you see, you'll see people that come out of the same backgrounds, horrible backgrounds sometimes, the same background, and one is successful and one is not successful. Why is that? It's all a choice.
Yeah.
It's what they chose to do with it.
Yeah.
And Christians, it's the same thing with us. Everything that we do, we have chance to make a choice. Every, when you're driving down the road of life, glory to God, there'll be turns, there'll be bumps, there'll be detours, there'll be all kinds of things. But you still get to choose. You get to choose to go on or to go back. To stop and be stalled or to press on and go forward. You know, and this is the thing that so many people miss is that they think, well, you know, if my life is here and I don't like it, I don't have any options to get out of it. But that's just not the word of God. So Ephesians 3, start in verse 14.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man.
Amen.
So where does strengthening come from? Through his might in the inner man.
Yes.
That's through your spirit.
Yes.
So our spirit, this is something that we have to get to the place where we understand. Our spirit is going to dictate that where our spirit is going to dictate where the rest of us are.
Wow.
Notice you're not going to be strengthened on the outer man.
Nope.
Right.
He said, you'll be strengthened on the inner man. You know, I think it's interesting as I consider life and I consider the different things that happen in life. You could start off and maybe you're a beautiful young person. You'd be 20 years old. Maybe you're just you're the next top model. You're beautiful. Everything about you that everybody look at you, that you're flawless in their opinion. You won't stay there. There'll be a day where you don't look like that.
Right.
Now, some of these, Hollywood people, they try to, and it's so foolish. They try to hold on to that.
Yeah.
So what do? They go have surgery, and they get things nipped and tucked and tied together and lifted and all kinds of, and inflated and all kinds of other things. But have you ever seen somebody who's been nipped, tucked, inflated, or otherwise made up that ever looks good? I mean, I've never seen somebody who's gotten Botox and looked at him and thought, that's a person that's got Botox. You know it.
Yeah.
I've never looked at them and thought, man, that looks good. I need to do that. You know what I mean? When somebody, they have things, I don't even dye my hair. I love the gray. Praise the Lord. And I know some people don't like gray, and that's fine. I'm not coming down on you. But I'm just saying, like, listen. I love my wife's grandma's great example of this. She's in her 80s, and finally she decided to stop dyeing her hair. Because nobody on earth is going to believe that this 86-year-old woman had naturally black hair. Nobody was going to believe that. And so she just decided to let it go finally. And I love that about her. I love that you know, if you want to dye your hair, I'm not coming down on you. This is a Pastor Jeff opinion. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter for a hill of beans. But I'm just saying that, you know, people, you know, you see that sometimes. You see people that are in their 40s and 50s and 60s trying to look like they did when they were 18.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work. Right. Amen? But we see, well, I had to get on that. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. I was talking about the inner man and how, you know, we have this, I don't think that it's an accident that these things happen.
Right.
I don't think that it's an accident that the body is weaker in its 50s, generally speaking, than it was in its
20s. Right.
And I don't think it's a bad thing, because I'm going to tell you something it's taught me. It's taught me to be smarter.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
It's taught me to look at the world differently.
Yeah.
It's taught me to look at myself differently.
Yeah.
It's taught me to look at the Heavenly Father differently.
Yeah.
He's saying, listen, like, you know, the things that you thought mattered. See, the Bible gives us this idea that youth is really deceptive.
Yeah.
Youth is really deceptive because you have all these thoughts that you have because you're young. But they fade so quickly.
Yeah.
And pretty soon, everything has changed. And so now you have to, you know, but it does matter how you look at those things when you're younger, because that will determine kind of how you look at them or how you transition later.
Yeah.
You know, I don't go, I'm 44 years old. I have not yet started a midlife crisis. I don't plan on it.
I
love being 44 years old.
Yeah.
It's not unenjoyable for me to be older. I look forward to being in my 50s. I look forward to being in my 60s, 70s, and 80s, and beyond. I love the idea that there's different stages of life, and I embrace it. It's not a bad thing.
Right.
Listen, there are good things that happen in life because of change. Look at, we're just about ending probably the most beautiful season we have around here. But why do we have that? Because something is dying off.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and so we understand that. Now, there'll be spring again, and there'll be rebirth, and that's beautiful too. But my point is that we so often we're looking to the wrong things. We're trying to embrace the wrong things,
yeah.
And this is why people get so far off.
Yeah.
But he wants to strengthen us in our with might through our inner his spirit and our inner man.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts through what?
Faith.
That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, right?
Yep.
What is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the what? Fullness of God.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. So we see that God wants to fill us with fullness.
Right.
Fullness is not the things.
Right.
We think, well, if I just had enough money, I'd be full. But anybody who's gotten enough money knows the same thing. They're never full.
Right.
Even if you're like, oh, I love sushi. I love sushi. I mean, I could eat it like every single day. 20 times a day. I love it. I want to gorge myself when I eat. I love the flavor. I love how I feel afterwards. I love everything about it. I even love the chopsticks, right?
Yeah.
Love it. But one thing I've noticed is that no matter how full I get off sushi, I always get hungry for it again.
Yeah.
I'm never full. No matter how good, and I've had some good sushi too. Even some this year, some really good sushi. But no matter how full I get, I'm still hungry again. God wants to fill us with His fullness.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, the natural things, and God doesn't mind that I enjoy that, and that I go, or that you enjoy nice things, or enjoy, going out to dinner, or going to places, or driving a nice vehicle, or having a nice house, or decorating it this way, or decorating that way. God doesn't mind any of that stuff.
Right.
But we have to understand that's all peripheral stuff.
Yeah.
That's byproducts of living a godly life.
Yeah.
If you live, now you can go out and earn that in the world, but we have to understand, again, we have to define our terms. Do you want God reality or do you want human reality?
Yeah.
Human reality says that you could be filthy rich today and dirt poor tomorrow.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you have no control over it.
Right.
God's reality says it doesn't matter what happens, you'll always go forward.
Amen.
Always forward.
Amen.
See, this is what I love. This is God's reality. And this is the reality that Christians need to be living in. That no matter what happens, pandemic, no pandemic, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if there's a Republican or a Democrat in the White House, doesn't matter.
Right.
All that matters is that I know God and He supplies for me.
Right.
That He takes me and that I experience His fullness.
Yeah.
What is God's fullness?
Right.
God's fullness is His love.
Yeah.
Shed abroad in our hearts.
Yeah.
When you are full of the love of God,
yeah,
you don't care about other things as much.
Right. Exactly.
They don't matter.
Yeah.
Whether you have them or you don't, they won't be your heart's desires.
Yeah, right.
That's good.
I've watched people spend their life just trying to have something,
yeah,
only to die and to leave it all behind.
Yeah.
I've seen people amass wealth. You know, praise God. You know, I was talking to a man recently who was is quite near death, and he said to me, "Once you get that death sentence," he said, all of a sudden, he picked up a spoon because that's what he had there. He said, all this stuff means nothing.
Yeah.
So when you get a few months to live, he said, now all this stuff means nothing.
Right.
Now you start reflecting on your life and saying, well, you know, what I should have done better here or maybe here, or I wish I had a few more years so I could go do this and get this taken care of because I was distracted by all these things.
Yeah, exactly.
Why don't we learn that while we're living?
Yeah.
Listen, I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with having nice things, but do we make them the focus of our affection?
Right.
God wants us to be full.
Yeah.
You see that right here, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how anybody can read this and argue that God wants you to be full.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. It doesn't mean full of cancer or full of sin or full of sickness. That's not what He's talking about. Because love doesn't bring those things.
Right.
Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to the power what? That works in us.
Amen.
The power of God works in you,
yes,
to bring about exceedingly great.
Yeah.
So why would we even believe or think anything other?
Right.
Yeah.
See, as Christians, we can't do this anymore. We have to change our thinking.
Yes.
We have to tell ourselves, it's not, I can't think that way anymore. To Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
So He didn't just mean it for them. Didn't just mean it for that people.
Right.
He wants it for all Christians. Forever and ever. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
1 Thessalonians 5:24. I want to read this in the Amplified. It says, Faithful is He who is calling you to Himself and utterly trustworthy, and He will also do it. Fulfill His call by hallowing and keeping you. Amen. He will do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
He needs your desire.
Yep.
He needs your will.
Yep.
And He will do it.
Yeah.
You don't make you holy.
Uh-uh.
Just want to tell you. I mean, yeah, the Bible says don't do this and don't do that. You know, we have do's and don'ts very clearly in the Bible. But you do understand that you don't make you holy.
Right.
Jesus makes you holy.
Yeah.
By working in you.
Yes.
When I was living in the world, I didn't have the lack of desire for sin, I had a lot of desire for sin.
Mm-hmm.
That was driven out of me by the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of me.
Right.
He was hallowing and keeping me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
He was making me holy. He was bringing me to that place where I could stand before Him.
Right.
I loved it. Recently, I was listening to an apologist talking, or a scholar talking about what God actually did. Like, he took away the devil's claim to us.
Right.
And ticked the devil right off.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he did. He literally, he said, okay, because the devil, you know, man was sold into sin, sold himself into sin, however you want to look at it. And we were living this life and we were lost without God. And God sent Jesus. And what Jesus did is he came in and he covered it anyways.
Right.
Despite the fact that we sin, that we miss it, despite all of it. He covered it.
Yeah.
He plucked us out and put us in a new kingdom. He said, now you have a new identity and the devil can't touch it. But what did a lot of the people with the new identity do? They go running back to the old identity and trying to relive in that over and over and over again.
Right.
And it doesn't work.
Right.
And they're not blessed.
Yeah, that's right.
Not us. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. So we're not just going to teach people. We're not just going to tell people, have faith in God. We need to show them, and we need to consider in our own lives, why do we have faith in God?
Yeah.
Right.
You, and if you're sitting here today and saying, oh, I don't know why I have faith in God, the scriptures I'm giving you tonight are a good place to start.
Right.
When you realize that God is working in you to do great things for you, the things, because it's whatever he wants to do, right?
Yeah.
Even if God, I mean, listen, even if God puts you on a menial task, it's still a great thing.
Yeah.
Because it's God.
Yeah.
He created everything. So even if he says, here, I want you to just do this little thing, that's a great thing.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful thing.
Right.
I don't know why Christians, you know, there's people that reject Jeremiah 29:11. There's Christians that say, God doesn't have any plans. Well, that's not true. Look through the scripture. He's got all kinds of plans for us.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Colossians 1. Look at this. And this week, I'm sitting there in my room where I study and pray and do all that kind of stuff and read. And I'm sitting there and I just have this desire to get in Colossians again. And I don't really even know why, just Colossians, Colossians, Colossians. So I go back to Colossians and I read these first few verses in Colossians and man, I just couldn't get past them. Praise the Lord. I love it when God doesn't let you get very far. You know what I mean? God calls you and says, here, over here. You know, he's like, oh, over here, come on over here. And you turn around and boom, you're there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is how life with God is, and this is how it should be.
Yeah.
It's not, oh my gosh, where am I gonna go? What am I gonna do?
Yeah.
It's like he's like over here, he's boom, you're there. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That's how God works.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. He just picks people up and moves them right to where they need to be.
Amen.
Praise
the
Lord.
Well, glory to God. Colossians 1:3 says, We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. These are two very important things.
Mm-hmm.
Faith in Christ Jesus and love for the saints.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. And so we have a hope, obviously, the Bible's talking about this, a hope laid up for us in heaven.
Yeah.
But it keeps going, amen? Which has come to you as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit.
Yes.
As it is among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth.
Mm-hmm.
The whole point to the word of God, to Jesus coming to the earth, was to bring forth fruit.
Yeah.
Every believer's life should, as a matter of fact, represent the fruit bearing of God.
Yeah.
Remember, not undesirable fruit, not rotten fruit, not partially ripe fruit, but full fruit.
Yeah.
Fruit that you know, one of the things I love about our area is that we have lots of different kinds of fruit. And in its season, man, it's a big thing. You talk to some of these farmers that have these huge farms and stuff like that. And fruit is that's their bread and butter, so to speak. You know, that's what provides for them and their families and many other things. This church was made possible by a fruit farmer. Glory to God. Yeah, like we could have never bought this building and what we had.
Yeah.
You know, and somebody helped us do it. Praise the Lord. And where they made their money? They made the money in fruit.
Yeah. Amen.
But what's that tell you? That if they didn't have a good season, they wouldn't be able to do that.
Yes, right.
And that's exactly what God wants to do in us.
Yeah.
He wants, he desires. God has determined that we should have good, good fruit. Praise the Lord. And not just some fruit, but it says is bringing forth fruit. Our life should continually be bringing forth this fruit. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise.
We need to ask ourselves, is our life, are our lives bringing forth this fruit? Are our lives bringing forth the fruit that God has determined? Or are we just spending our lives, you know, going to our jobs, doing our thing, doing whatever, you know, just bebopping through life, just kind of getting through, trying to figure it all out? No, we need to be bringing forth fruit.
Yeah.
What the Lord spoke to me this week was this. He said, it was speaking to me specifically about testimonies. I want to share it with you. Praise the Lord. Do I have it? And I just got to find where I have it.
Praise God.
Yeah, said, this is what I heard in my spirit. If I were to ask what the Lord is doing in your life, would you be able to testify to it?
Mm-hmm.
What is the fruit of you being born again? What is the proof? You know, there's many Christians that if you ask that question to them, if you ask them, what has God been doing in your life? I can tell you that I know many Christians would not be able to answer that.
Right.
I don't know, I've been going through so much stuff. I've been, you know, I've been having this issue and that issue and this issue. See, what you hear, what you're hearing when somebody is, what you're hearing when you go to a Christian and you are hearing them talk about all the bad things in your life, what you're hearing is their testimony of their fruit in their life.
Yeah.
That's what you're hearing.
Yeah.
The testimony of the fruit of my life is this. That's essentially what you're saying. When you say, well, I've got this problem and this problem, and all these things are falling apart and I don't quite know how to get there, and you know, we've had this opposition. That's your testimony.
Yeah.
Right.
You're talking about all the bad things.
Yeah.
You're magnifying all the bad things.
Yeah.
And they're so focused on that
that
they can't even look and see
what
God has been doing in their lives. The very basic things. I mean, God is doing things in our lives all the time. He is constantly working in our lives. Most people probably do not see it. They never see it. They just, you know, every once in a while they'll have a moment where they may go, that must have been God. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, that was great. But then the rest of the time it's all bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
What is the fruit of your life?
Right.
We have to ask ourselves about our testimonies.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm just telling you the truth. I get tired of focusing on the bad stuff.
Right.
I get tired of focusing on it's always bad. It's never what I want. I get tired of that. You ever get tired of that?
Yeah.
So stop focusing on it.
Right.
What good's it doing you anyways?
Right.
I mean, like, seriously, that's why you, like, have you ever looked at somebody and thought, man, how are you even living still?
Right.
Your life is so miserable. How are you even here?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, what? And of course, I'm not suggesting that somebody goes and hurts themselves or anything like that. But I'm saying at some point you have to have a clue, get a clue in your head that says, wait a minute. Maybe I need to focus on something different.
Because
this ain't living anymore.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about that with the coronavirus and stuff. I have no problem with taking precautions and stuff like that to protect people. I think that it's wise.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you one thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to live in fear.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spend my life. And what I'm talking about by this, again, when I go into a store or come in here, and I wear a mask and do, you know, follow the all those things and stuff like that. Praise the Lord. But I am not going to live in this constant place of what are we going to do?
Right.
What happens if it gets worse? What happens if I get it?
Right.
Listen, if the worst thing that could possibly happen to me happened to me,
mm-hmm.
I'd still be with Jesus.
Yeah. Right.
That's not so bad.
Right.
And so I'm just saying, I'm not going to live a life in such fear.
Right.
Again, it doesn't mean that we just throw caution to the wind. There's some things, good things that came out of this.
Yes.
I'll tell you one, I keep saying this, but I love it. Bathrooms are much cleaner in public places
because
they're forced to clean them. Well, thank God.
Yeah.
It's nice that people start washing their hands. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's nice that people, you know, that you can get hand sanitizer at wherever you go. Because sometimes, I mean, I don't know about you, but there's been many times I've touched a shopping cart and gone, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't like it, right? But now at least you know you can probably clean it because not everybody else is. So there's good things that come out of it, you know, and we can look to those things. We can look to the good things. Amen. Another thing is I never thought I was going to be able to take my 10-hour course for hunting because I never had the time to just go sit and do it. But now because of coronavirus, I did it online. So I did it online, got my license, everything. I don't know if I'll hunt, but I at least got it. Praise the Lord. I have that option now. Praise the Lord, so glory to God. So, you know, we have to, folks, get to a place where we can live our lives and stop focusing all the time on all these things. Let's follow God. Let's follow all that he has for us. Because God has some really wonderful things for his people to do. Amen.